Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Pastor J. Rouse Show. Today is July 3rd, 2013. Won't you join us? Good evening and good evening, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well and that they're truly blessed. And like I always say, even when you think you aren't, you truly are, because someone always has it worst. We've had some good weather these days. It's been really beautiful. I had a wonderful weekend. As you all know, I had the opportunity of going home to Windsor and taking part in the 40th anniversary of the Windsor Cavalier Cricket Club. I think that's very, very, very good to endure for such a long, lengthy time period. And they had an awards banquet. It was simply wonderful. They had a lovely meal, and Everybody was dressed so nicely. They clean up real good. And we had some dancing and lots of laughter. I want to just say a shout out to my Windsor Cavalier Cricket group and just give them a good hello. And once again, a big congratulations. They've been going for 40 years and they're still going. And we would pray that they continue. But before we begin our show, we always start in prayer because you know what? As much as I might think I can pull this show off, I can't do anything without you. But more importantly, I can't do anything without Jesus. So won't you join me as we pray and let's make some stuff and do some changes and change some lives and make effects and make a difference. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for the lovely weather we've been having. We look to those who are not as fortunate and things may be a little rocky or there may be floods or some sort of earthquake. We understood that there was a possible tsunami alert again the other day. And Father, we just ask that you continue to keep your hands upon your people. We ask for mercy. And Father, for those who are listening in this evening, that they would be moved and they would be touched and that we would make a difference in their lives. And at least, if nothing else, we can bring them some joy. But Father, we ask right now, as we prepare to do this show, as I say, my name may be on it, but you are in the midst of it. And therefore, it is for you, not for me. So I ask right now that you would take over and have your way this evening, Father, and let your will be done, and let us be blessed, and more importantly, let us be a blessing, and let it not go in vain, because you are worthy and truly, truly deserve all honor, glory, power, and praise. But I humble myself now, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and for all those who agreed, they truly would say, amen. Amen. Well, what else have we been up to? We've been doing quite a many things. We've got another exciting show today. We had some changes made because, ironically enough, we were just going to go ahead with our normal scheduled show. But we need to be right on point, if you get the joke. And today we had a few things come up that would sort of put things off keel a little bit. And it, I saw this on the news this morning and my jaw dropped and I didn't know what to make of it, but I thought I've got to get into this thing and find out some more about it. And I wanted to hear other people's thoughts and opinions on it. And so we have added in an edition of Right on Point this evening, and we have joining us, hopefully this evening, my buddy. See, she seems to be my co-host when it comes to Right on Point because she's funny, she's smart, she's pretty, and she's very talented. The wonderful Miss T, also known as Trinae Prosser, the author of Celibacy, What Was I Thinking? She's been on now 2 weeks in a row. We're hoping we can get her on here today, and we'll have her on later this evening. As we get on to the Right on Point talk and conversation, it's going to be rather juicy. We've had lots of input from people, and so we're looking forward to sharing that with you as well and let you hear some other perspectives on what we heard earlier today. But in the meantime, we also have someone else that may be joining us. I'm hoping he'll be able to. He's got some church events. We do have a pastor that is going to either join us or he will at least give his thoughts and opinions and commentary. But we'll have to bring him on later into the show because I know he's tied up earlier this evening. And he's going to be contacting us and taking part all the way from Chicago, the wonderful Windy City. But in the meantime, we do have a couple updates. And before we begin, we have to remember that we went ahead and we had our opportunity to go and see the Soweto Gospel Choir. Yes, Grammy-winning award, Soweto Gospel Choir. They finally made it to Canadian soil after a two-week delay. And I had the wonderful opportunity of sitting down with their choir director and leader and choreographer. He's the all-around kind of a guy. And his name is Shimmy, and I think it's, you know what? I think it's Gianni. Yes, I said it properly. Shimmy Gianni. And Shimmy was able to sit down with me yesterday, and we had such a wonderful time. And we've got that interview for you to hear this evening. But before we begin, I'm going to go ahead, and I want to start off with the song that I played last week, because we had dedicated it to Nelson Mandela. And with everything that's going on in South Africa and them waiting and praying and going through so much. And Shimmy was also able to give me a little bit of insight on how he and the choir are feeling, and also share some of what took place while they were still home in South Africa. Tonight, as we do this show, they are performing in Lindsay, Ontario, and they have two more shows, Huntsville, and I'll double-check the other place, but they're only here for a few days because they have to rush back just in case. But for now, we're going to play that very heartwarming, passionate song by the Soweto Gospel Choir called Blessed. Amen. Amen. That's such a touching song. And you just, every time I play it, I get so choked up. And it's so hard not to play it and feel some of their power. Before I begin to play the interview, it's just, it was so overwhelming. I'm telling you, it's just so lovely how these people have gone through so much. And when he told some of the stories, my assistant and I, we were just speechless. I mean, when he talks about some of the things that happened before when apartheid was happening, and he even talked about when the students did their marching and were shot down and killed. And we've seen so many movies and shows about this. That he said, oh, it was just around the corner from my house. And I thought, wow, we think we've got some crime and some things happening in our neighborhoods, but this is just, there aren't words that can begin to express. And so, you know, but he was so friendly, so just so caring, and they were all just very pleasant and smiling, and they we didn't get to meet with all of them because they were like us. They're staying right by the Eaton Center, the Toronto Eaton Center, and so they went shopping. They went to get their shop on, as we would say. So we were able to sit down with Shimmy and go through some of the things that they go through at their rehearsals, how they pick their people sing in the choir. And we talked about New York City, and they're actually preparing that when they go back, they're going to be doing a tour. And it's going to be in Europe, and they're even talking about going to Brazil. So that's very different for them. So I'm very excited to see that taking place. Next week, we are going to be getting our Glass Awards information together. We will have all the interviews played for the Women of Excellence. We will have the entire list of all the nominees that are going to be participating in the official Gospel Glass Awards. I'm hoping I can get the producers of the program and the awards and everything together and maybe have them talk to you on air as well. We want them to share what this baby means to them and putting it together. And I've noticed it's the first annual, so that means that they have an intention of doing this all the time. And I'm looking forward to attending and being more involved with it, but definitely something we're going to be sharing with you and give you an in-depth in that. Also, because of the Windsor Cavalier Cricket announcement, I need to remind everybody that in August, Rouse Ministries Publishing and Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications will be assisting with some sponsorship and public relations and media for a wide variety of cricket teams that are going to be here in Toronto, Ontario, from the U.S., from Barbados. And, of course, we know that we've got local players from Mississauga and right here in Scarborough. And they are obviously of various cultures and background. And we will have dates. We will have events. We will give you guys an update on everything. I'm hoping there's a wonderful fellow by the name of Winston. He is a member of the Pioneer Cricket Club in Barbados, as well as the Maxwell Cricket Club. And it's ironic because I have uncles who play for both. So he is just very good at reporting on the sports and on the scores and what took place in the games. So I may well have to have him help me to do some of the updates and reports for the tours itself and to give everybody a commentative view on how the matches went, what the scores were, and then report on who won what trophies and what plaques and that sort of thing. But it's going to be exciting. They're always doing different things. I know when Malvern gets together with some of their cricket teams, they have all sorts of events as well. So we will do our very best to try and keep you updated on some of those because I only have access to so much. But I know that they'll allow it because they want everyone to know about it and get involved. One of the things that I liked was Miss Springer, the wife of Curtis Springer from the Windsor Cavaliers, said to support your local cricket. I think that's important, and I know cricket may not be the thing, but I've noticed in the last little while in Toronto that they now have little sports cricket training camps, and they've got the camps for the young people, and I think it's so important that they learn these things, especially if it's a heritage legacy. Because cricket isn't just from the West Indies. It is West Indian, it's Indian, it's Middle Eastern, and yes, it is European. Some of the best cricket is played right where I was born, in England. And so it is more international than we as Canadians or North Americans may be aware because we don't get so involved in it. I had heard at one point that there was somebody here in Toronto, I think, was trying to work on getting an ICC cricket club for Canada here, and we would be able to bring international teams in. And I've got to look into that information as well. But August will be officially cricket month. So I'm hoping you'll join me. We will still have other things taking place, but we definitely want to keep you posted because we will be busy and we will be broadcasting some of that on the show, as well as on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page. So please keep in touch with us. If you want to help, we're always looking for volunteers. If you want to help, we have people who will need rides from the airport. They might need chauffeuring around. The people from out of town may want to go shopping or touring. If you can help, please. So, with respect to the cricket tours, I would ask you to email me personally at pastorjrouse@gmail.com. And regarding anything else to do with the show, if you have a topic that you want covered, or if you want to be involved in some way, or if you have an event taking place, or you're a musician or comedian and you want some airtime, we focus on everybody because we are international. We cover the world, so we open our doors to the world. We have musicians from around the world, and now we're focusing on comedians. We have events from around the world, and so we definitely encourage you to send them in, and you can email those to pastorjrouseshow@gmail.com, or you can send us a little note on Twitter at Pastor Rouse Show. There's no J on the Twitter one, Pastor Rouse Show, okay? And Pastor J. Rouse is also on Facebook. So don't hesitate to come and check out that page as well. And that's Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. We're also putting a lot of different community events for various areas around the world on there. And over the next few weeks, we'll have more in the way of sports and weather and some other upcoming events around the world as well. Okay? But right now, before we get into our interview, I'm going to do a birthday shout out. Happy birthday to everybody who's had a birthday during the following week. We have had one particular person I know. She's family to me, and it's the First Lady of East York BME Church here in Scarborough, East York, Ontario. And that's Sister Gwen Licorice, and she had a birthday on the weekend. And I also know that my assistant, she had a birthday on the weekend. And she's, I don't want to tell her age because I know she will listen to the show and she will get mad at me. And I'm still waiting for her sister to get back because I guess she still hasn't heard what I did. So we're going to do the other Soweto Gospel Choir song that we played last week, Forever Young. Bear with me, and then we will go ahead and listen to the interview.
May God's blessings keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others, and let the others do for you. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth
and see the light surrounding you.
May you grow up and be courageous. Stand upright and be strong. May you stay.
Oh,
Amen. May you forever stay forever young. Amen. I'm now going to go ahead and we're going to get this interview going here. Let me see what I've got. There we go. Just listen in. It touched my heart. He's just an amazing person. So I give you Shimmy Gianni, leader of the Soweto Gospel Choir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Pastor Jay Rose here, and we're so excited. As you know, the Soweto Gospel Choir, they've just arrived, Grammy Award winning, and I'm telling you, I've listened to their music, and I'm just overwhelmed and touched by how blessed they sound. I think I've even quoted a song, Blessed.
Yes.
Actually, we just played that song, and we did a tribute to Nelson Mandela on that song, and I got teared up and had to kind of hold back some tears, because it was very, very deeply moving, and you could feel the passion in their songs and in their words. I have the pleasure of sitting here with this gentleman who literally is very proud of who he represents, the Soweto Gospel Choir. This is Shimmy Gianni. He is the choir master, choreographer, and the leader. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm so excited to be here. So you guys have just arrived?
Yeah, we've just arrived, yes.
Okay, you must be very tired.
Yeah, we tried. It's a long trip from South Africa to here.
I can imagine. How long is that flight?
It's about 18 hours, I think.
Oh, my. I've done a flight from London, England to Toronto.
Yeah,
that's
Toronto.
Where I'm originally from.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And I was a child, thank goodness, and I think I slept through all of that. So that was the joy of it all.
Yeah.
So how many people do you have with you on tour?
Because we're doing an a cappella show, we don't have a band. We've got 22 members.
Right.
Yeah, so basically when we do like a full show, like when there's a band and everybody, we got like 26 members. So our band is at home.
Oh,
so we got only singers here and dancers and drummers.
So the band is probably a little upset that they didn't get to come.
Not exactly upset, because I mean they're doing something at home, because actually we've got two choirs.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's two choirs that when, like, this is the touring choir that is here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other one that goes to Africa when they have to perform at home in the continent,
right.
And they perform here.
Okay.
So the band is
very good.
Them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's two, there's a touring, and then there's the traditional, I guess, regular choir that would stay home and do more local type thing, or as you said, on the continent itself.
And then if somebody's sick, like, probably they can't carry on with on tour, and somebody comes up from that choir.
Okay.
Yeah,
Wow, so it's almost like a replacement. You've got backup. You're better than a football team or a soccer team. This is very good. Maybe you guys should consider taking up sport as well. South Africa's pretty good at sport, too, so.
We're not good in soccer.
Oh, I know, but they do have some great athletes there.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, this is your 10th anniversary.
Yes.
I know you've been here before.
Oh, yes.
I know you've been here before. Do you select the countries or the places that you want to go, or you're just repeating some of the places you've already been, or what is it, the range of selection?
What happens is that we don't select where we want to go. It's actually our audience that selects where they want to see us.
On demand.
Yeah, so that we don't actually select where we're going to go there. No.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like when we perform in Canada, then the next time probably when somebody say, I want you guys to come to that, and then we can come, they book us and we come.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know you've done New York several places. I think, what did they quote you as, sensational or something like that?
Unstoppable.
Oh, my. And they are, you know. We did play a few songs. I was able to get my hands on a few songs. So last week, we obviously with the situation at home with Mr. Mandela. It wasn't even intended to be a tribute, but you can't help but say some words and just the respect that you have to have with a man who has endured so much.
Exactly, because I mean, when you go home, you'd see it in people's faces.
Yes.
And you'll see even the mood, like everybody's, like now, I'm talking now, if you can go home now, everybody's, like there's thousands of people at the hospital in Pretoria where he's sleeping now.
They were saying that there was choirs, and they were singing gospel songs.
People are praying every day, so for him to get well. And because He's done so much for the country. He's done so much for the continent and for the world. I mean,
for the world. Definitely. Well, we feel it. We feel it.
Yeah.
And as I said, I was going to be playing some songs because for our birthday session and anniversary session, instead of our, we have different variations of Happy Birthday, and we actually picked Forever Young.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I loved it. I said, this is so awesome the way they did it. So may you always be forever young.
Yeah.
And I played that, and there was another song. I'm trying to think off the top of my head which one it was, but Blessed. After I said, you know what, I'm going to dedicate this one to Mr. Mandela, and we went ahead and played it, and there was a gap in the show because I had paused.
Oh.
So your music,
is
there somebody who writes them, or you just take other traditional songs? What is the venue of how you do your songs?
What happens with our music is that we sing, especially when it comes to Christian music, when we come to like church music. Church music, we sing old hymns that we grew up singing, that we were taught.
Amazing Grace, that was the other one I saw.
We got Always Jesus. And then we got some old hymns that we take from the old hymn book, and we take them there, and then we put them together as a choir. And we also take some traditional stuff that we grew up doing, like you sing a Zulu song, you got to do something in a Zulu. What you try and do every time is just to we make sure that we represent each and every culture and place that we have in our country within the show.
Yes.
So that's what we do,
Okay.
So our music basically stays there so that we've got American, we've got like everywhere all over the world, and even in Africa and the continent, we take something from there. Because we do something like Malaika, which is Swahili, so we take something from there.
Okay. And so the other languages, you do the English, and you do obviously your mother tongue.
Yeah, because in our country, you know, we've got 11 official languages.
Well, so.
So in our show, we sing in six of those.
Okay.
Yeah,
and name those for me.
We've got Zulu.
Yeah, that's
Xhosa. Xhosa.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Xhosa, we've got Venda. We've got Sotho. We've got English. And we've got Afrikaans.
Okay. Yes. Okay, Afrikaans. And that's the traditional. I think it's more commonly known, the Zulu and the Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the more white oriented type African dialect.
Yeah.
I think that's the one the world is more commonly known of. And obviously, we know about Zulu because they're like the greatest warriors you could ever imagine. See, I do know my history.
Yeah.
I know my history. I know my legacy. So you do a variety of the different tongues. And do you have people who actually do write some of your songs that are involved in the choir?
Yeah, we do. I write songs too.
Okay.
And then we've got our musical director, which is Kevin Williams. He writes songs. And actually, most of the choir members, they do write songs. And
Because
we've got like, When we come up with an album, we do say, please let's write some of our songs and then that originate that way, originate from us that we write, and then after we can take from what from so and so. Yeah.
Now, the world watched from a distance as South Africa suffered.
Yeah.
One of the things that I had mentioned was that obviously, my father's was a man who was very much into African history. He's from Jamaica, but.
Oh, yeah.
We're ancestors. I mean, there's no question about it. And we're all one.
Yes.
And so it would be very hard to be here in North America and turn on the news and watch what we could see. And, of course, it obviously deeply affects. I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't cry tears because I did. It was just, I've watched several Mandela movies and just thought, wow. And we think we suffer here in North America. We don't know suffering.
Yeah.
So now, the choir, it's only been around for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, some of them have had experience with some of the depths of the things that have happened in the negative.
Oh, yeah.
And now in the positive. Do you feel that it affects the way the choir sings?
I would say, yeah, sometimes, because you know, even in our show, we have a part where we sing like struggle songs, where we make sure that we salute all the legends. I mean, the Nelson Mandela, the Oliver Tambo, the Desmond Tutu. So the Chris Hannes,
we know these stories
We've got a part where we sing about them. We've got a part where you have to sit down and listen to us when we sing about it, and you'll see the emotions when you sing about it, because We not only here because we wanted to be here, it's through Mandela's works and through Oliver Tambo, through Desmond Tutu, you know, it's through Chris Hani, you know,
yeah.
Steve Biko, you know,
oh,
you count
Biko,
them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
oh my God,
it's through those people's works and what they fought for,
yeah.
You know. And then every time we always say as a choir, we know where we come from and we'll never forget where we come from.
Yeah.
Even if when we came here to Canada, we still think about Nelson Mandela. We went to that plane that we came on now when we flew here. We prayed before we came here that he gets well.
Of course.
Got into our rooms, before we got into our rooms, we stood here and we prayed and we sang. So that when he get home, at least, because what we scared about as a choir, that
something would happen
while we are away.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be, I promise you, it wouldn't be a nice thing.
It's hard.
Now when they said he was in a critical condition, we were like, South Africa was quiet. It was like quiet, because he's our father. That's who we.
And you know what? That's exactly
yeah.
what when I did the tribute, I
yeah.
said, he is their Abraham.
Yeah.
He is the father to a nation.
Oh, yes.
And so, even though you're not all directly related, he
yeah.
is still like the dad.
Yeah.
And so it feels. I mean, if we feel this way,
yeah.
I mean, I feel sad. I don't even
yeah.
look forward to the day.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we all have to go. But I mean, we're watching and waiting for
exactly.
this one, and it's not something you want to experience.
Yeah.
Now, you guys had to delay your
yes.
tour for a couple of weeks. I think it was 2 weeks.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Okay.
We had to delay, but we ended up had to come here because we had to come here and perform. But,
right.
Yeah, but because it does give an effect to us because of. We were the product of 19. Some of the members are the product of 1976. What happened? The riot when the student marched from. Actually, when the student marched, they marched from my house, like 2 minutes away from my
really?
House. Yeah. When they marched, and they went to Hector Peterson. Hector Peterson, who died, the first victim to die.
Yeah.
So yeah. As
oh,
you walk,
I've watched those
every time
movies.
When it's June
yeah.
16, when they walk, then you like my house is like it's right there. So yeah.
Isn't that something?
So it's one of those things that when we sit and look at ourselves and the nation, and we look at ourselves as you know the rainbow nation that Mandela said we are the rainbow nation. And when he spoke to us, he said to us, you must learn to forgive, but you must never forget.
Oh,
because
no.
he told us that, and
yeah.
then yeah, and we were like, okay,
yeah.
now
but,
we can take
but that's
it.
That heritage thing that I was saying, because
yeah.
even though I'm of a West Indian background,
yeah. Yeah.
we still realize we
yeah.
came to a land that we didn't voluntarily come on vacation. and so we can never forget.
Yeah.
And as much, and I do realize that there seems to be a great deal of cultural difference now because
yes.
you've got West Indians and you've got the Black Americans
yeah.
and we all have a different aspect of it because of where we were raised or where we were brought
yes,
up.
Yeah.
But no one can ever experience Africa.
Yeah.
And I think I'm finding a lot of more people are going to Africa now because they're
yeah.
more curious.
Yeah, exactly. You find
yeah.
more people coming, they still go to the Nelson Mandela's old house.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is in Soweto, deep down, like downtown Soweto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of tourists coming to South Africa to come and explore.
So now the tour, I know I've got 3 dates for you guys.
Yeah.
I believe it's Lindsay,
yeah.
Huntsville,
and then we've got Montreal.
Yes, the
yeah,
Jazz Festival.
The Jazz Festival,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and after that, are there any more dates or you're not sure?
After that, we're going back home and then we're going to prepare for our Europe tour because we've got a Europe and a UK tour. And then,
okay.
after that, we still got the States for another 3 months. And then, yeah, and then we might be going to Brazil in September. So
oh,
so, yeah.
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't think you guys have ever been there.
Brazil, No,
that's very different.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering how you guys are going to handle because they've got their own different culture altogether.
But the funny part is that we always get tweets and all that from Facebook and people saying, when are we coming to Brazil?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Okay.
We performed in Beirut. And in,
yeah.
Yeah, we went to Beirut
different.
And it's different. And you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be looking at us and that, what are you singing? And by the way, they love what we're singing. They love looking at us and doing what the dance that we do. I mean, yeah.
Now, the words for blessed.
Yes.
Can you share me some of the depth and the meaning of the words from this song? I just, okay. I'm hearing it in my head and it chokes me up because you start to realize there's a love there for South Africa.
It is love for South Africa because it's what we why we said blessed, because of where we come from as a choir when we started in 2002, and we just want to thank and give praise to God, and we just want to thank our families and our fans and people all over the world that we are blessed with performing for them and them allowing us to come and perform for them. Mm-hmm. And not even though they not know what we're saying when we sing in Zulu, but we can still move their hearts. We can still move.
Oh, because you could feel the
passion. We can, and you can feel the rhythm, and you can feel the power of the djembe playing and the dances. And you can still feel the choir singing. I mean, and the 24 or 26 members singing for you, and you can still be moved. So that's why we call it blessed.
Because it's in two different languages, but you still felt the depth of
exactly.
the song.
Exactly.
And then when it ends at the end, and it just talks about Africa, and I thought, oh my goodness, it just had me totally choked up.
Because what we tried to do is that we wanted to make sure that people understand where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a choir, where we come from and where we are now, and what do they mean to us? Because if I can tell you something about Soweto Gospel Choir, that we don't do favors when we go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that people they don't know about us is that we don't go on stage to entertain. We minister to people. You know, we minister to people. So, because you never know, people come in and people are not feeling well. People are just coming to see who are these. Maybe something can revive them.
Yeah.
Something can be done and
or
be released.
Just the power.
Just the power of God. Yeah. So we try and tell them that God is good. God is alive.
Amen.
Yeah. So yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm still speechless because it's unique, especially when you can feel contributions from different parts and different cultures around the world.
Yes.
This is part of what the Pastor J. Rouse Show is about.
Wow, thank you.
We don't just bring church. We want people to see other aspects of church and that we have fun and we enjoy ourselves. And when you guys get on stage, the movement and the power, you guys have fun.
Yeah.
I think there's even scenes where you guys laugh and giggle.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, that's so cute. And I thought that was so amusing.
Yeah.
But you can't help but laughing along too, and it's still you still feel the joy.
Exactly.
And so you're able to share that.
Yeah, because I mean, in the presence of the Lord, you can't just go there and just sing and get worried. You gotta be happy.
Oh yeah, well the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, with joy of the Lord.
Strength.
I mean, that's why you have to put a smile on your face and just get going and get somebody there, reach out and touch that person.
Amen.
And tell them that God is alive.
Amen.
God is good all the time.
So I can imagine. So backstage, I know you guys are praying, obviously, and then you go out and you do the show.
Yes.
You were saying about the emotion.
Yes.
Does it show sometimes when you're singing? Do you get caught up in the spirit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, definitely. When you sing, especially when you sing, oh, it is Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, then, because that's
we're going to have to find that one. We'll be playing it tomorrow on the show
so
they can hear that.
And that's where you get to hear the emotion. That's where and that's where you get to see, when you see us live performing, so you would see that we've been through a lot as a choir.
Yeah.
And standing there and singing that song, we feel proud of who we are.
So now you guys are sort of like secondary family now.
Yeah, definitely.
See, especially when you're touring, because you kind of just have each other, and so you kind of rely on each other.
We rely on each other, because we're forever 24/7 at each other's faces. And, you know, you must remember one thing, you're working with different characters in the choir. I mean, it's 26 of us.
Yeah.
You know, and every time you got to be revived, you got to be, you know, because we sing the same song like for 3 months.
Yeah.
So every day the song has to be new. So you need to find a way of making it new.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing that, it's us coming together, praying. We make church on our own. We sit here and open
prayer.
And, you know, we listen to the word, and we'll be sharing the word as a choir. And after that, then we go on stage and we perform. Because once you get on the stage, there's nothing that can stop us.
So you also sing too, or you're just
I sing,
choir
master? I'm one of the lead singers there.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Okay, okay. The next question I have, because now we've talked about the choir itself.
Yes.
As the conductor or director of the choir, I've sang with choirs before, and
I know
not everybody pays attention when they're supposed to pay attention.
Yeah.
So what is practice or rehearsal like? Do you have to, you're not paying attention, and people come late, and we want to hear how normal they are.
You know what happens in our practice, it's what we take it seriously.
Okay.
And even though sometimes I make jokes sometimes, because I don't like when there's too much seriousness. Because sometimes when you put seriousness in a person, you know, you won't get the person.
They won't get the quality because it's too tight.
Yeah,
you've got to relax.
You've got to relax. So I present a little bit of comedy. You can even see on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So there are moments where I would just go and we see I do something and people will be laughing and the choir will be laughing.
Yeah.
But you just because what we do is that we take it seriously, especially when it comes to songs that we're singing and doing the choreography, because that's where the difficult part is. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta get 24 people doing the same thing.
All at the same time.
Yeah, and then
and on
beat. So yeah, but we make sure that we're on point. We make sure that it's not that difficult for us. It was difficult in 2002, but now once we got going and now it's easy for us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's much more easy.
So now, if I had absolutely no rhythm,
yeah,
and I had two left feet, and I say I want to join your choir.
We'll make you notice.
We're gonna teach you how to do it.
And we're gonna make sure we give you some time to, because it's not easy, but you're gonna learn it. Because I mean, we also go around and teaching people steps and all that, and we do workshops.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
And,
once
people are out, you can see people dance. I will teach, and I'll say, okay, so because people are come out. Let's leave them on their own. Let's watch. And they be like, and they know what it says. So, yeah.
Okay. And when I hear the African music, it's very similar to the West Indian calypso soca.
Yeah, yeah.
And we dance almost the same.
Yeah.
So, I know lots of African people, and when they're playing their music,
yeah,
I'm still, you know, doing what I would normally do, and it doesn't look any different.
Exactly.
So now you guys are having fun, and you're partying and singing and ministering.
Yes.
Could life get any better?
You know what, I'll tell you one thing, it can, you know, yeah, but what we always say in the choir is that we just wish God gives us more days or more years to go to stick as a choir.
Amen.
You know, because what happens is that we just lost one of our bass singers. He was one of the strongest bass singers. His name is Vusi Madondo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he passed on last year.
Oh.
Yeah, and he passed on as we were about to go on tour.
Oh, so, dear, so you really felt that, because then you've got to try and figure out what to
somebody,
do
yeah,
to cover,
you know,
that.
Because it's never easy, so we always pray that, you know, when as much as we're on tour, we don't get to hear bad news about home, we don't get to somebody get hurt or whatever, so we make sure that we pray that God just keeps us together for years to come, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be tough.
It is, because sometimes people have to go back home to go bury their sisters, sometimes their mothers, sometimes their, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if somebody, how does one hear about joining your choir?
Is
it just by word of mouth?
No, we put it on the newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah, and then people.
You must get a lot of people applying.
Yeah, we do. Actually, even when we go and join all over the place, and then people be like, when can I join? How many languages do you speak?
Exactly. And it's English, and it's not very good.
Yeah, but we put it on the paper, and then somebody will send it on the website, and then like on our website, on our Twitter handle, and then we go on our Facebook. And,
well, there you go. There's your own reality show, because they have American Idol and Canadian Idol. We'll have to put South African Idol for the Soweto Gospel Choir, and we'll see who can sing.
Exactly.
And if they actually know their Zulu or whatever other interpretations they need, because then that's when they'll mess up.
Yeah, because you have to know how to speak Zulu to sing, Sotho, like Xhosa. Xhosa, that's the most difficult.
I love when you said that.
It's Xhosa, and then you gotta know how Fenda, you know. So yeah.
Okay. Now our standard choir here, we would come to choir practice, and we'd all get ready. We'd sit in our section, and we'd have to do warm ups.
Yeah.
Do you do traditional warm-ups, or how do you guys do your warm-ups? Do you do scales? How do you do this?
We sometimes change. Sometimes we do scales.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, because Kevin would make them do scales. Sometimes we do like there's a warm-up that we do.
I want to hear
it. It goes like, it's the tongue clicking, which is closer. So you say, Wakoba matata mangani senga tilenya mitenge nguwe. Wakoba matata mangani senga tilenya. Wakoba matata mangani senga. So yeah, so you play with your
Well, ours is the tip of your teeth, your tongue, your lips. The tip of your teeth, your tongue, your lips.
Yeah,
so it's
really
similar. There you go.
Yeah.
Because it helps you to get your enunciation and flow of going.
Yeah.
You have to do that again for me one more time.
Wakoba matata mangani senga tilenya mitenge nguwe. Wakoba matata mangani senga tilenya mitenge nguwe. Itenge nguba. Something like this, yeah.
Okay. I don't think I'm joining the choir yet. I'll need some more practice.
So you're here, and then after you said you go back home.
Yes.
And then where do you go after that? Because I know you said you've got Europe, you
yeah,
said?
Yes, yeah.
When is the European tour?
We're starting it on the first, the last week of October. So all the time now we'll be promoting our latest album.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then after that we go to Europe. Yeah.
Where in Europe are you going to be going?
We've got Germany, Hamburg. We've got I think it's Italy and Spain. And we've got Sweden.
We are connected to one of the Italian gospel group events.
Wow,
and various things. So if I will have to stay in touch and find out where your tours are going to be, because then I can help promote them and post them there as well.
Wow, that would be wonderful. Yes.
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
Yes.
And then you'll have to send me the practicing so
I can send it to you.
And work on my skills so I can
come
and audition for the choir.
No problem. I can send you all our practice session and all that. And I can,
That's so now you leave here today and you're heading to Lindsay.
No, we leave here tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, today we're just doing like a whole lot of publicity.
Okay.
And after that, tomorrow actually it's our first show in Lindsay. So we travel there and then we play there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anybody at home that you want to say hi to?
Back in South Africa. I would say hi to my mom, to my brothers, my friends. That's
okay.
It. Okay. Yeah.
Very good. Oh, Shimmy, it's been a pleasure. And before we close out, I always like to pray as well.
Yes.
So I'm going to get this opportunity to do that with you because we are going to pray.
Okay.
So join with us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for traveling mercies, Lord. And I know they've already asked that you would watch over their friends and their family and keep them in perfect peace. So, Father, we ask that you sustain until they return. And, Father, we lift up Mandela and his family and the nation, Father God. And we ask that you would guide and direct and continue to prepare. We know you have a purpose, but we just ask for a little more time. And Father God, as they go on their tour, that you would continue to move mountains, touch lives, Father God. And Father God, we speak it with the power and authority in Jesus, that you would use each voice in one collectively, and let the Spirit of Jesus just roam through the places, and lives be changed, people be healed, and all things that are not of you be restored according to thy will. And we ask that you continue to bless them, keep your hands upon them, and sustain them to keep going. And we ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Oh, my brother, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And God bless you. And we thank you from Pastor J. Rao's show. We're signing out at the Marriott Hotel. And don't forget, you want to come and see them. And if you miss it, well, it's your own fault, because I know how good it is. God bless. Amen. That was my interview with Shimmy Gianni, the leader and director of the Soweto Gospel Choir. We had so much fun. He's such a joy. And before we close out on their section, as I said, they're in Lindsay right now performing as we speak. And tomorrow they're in Huntsville. And then the day after that, they head to the Montreal Jazz Festival. So if you have the opportunity to see them, please do. Unfortunately, I was told because they had to delay their tour for the two-week time period that they were supposed to cover Toronto and some of the regions here, they were going to have to try and reschedule them, but they have to keep the trip short because of Nelson Mandela's health. And, of course, they're going to be needed at home in South Africa. But we know that they will be a blessing to the three stops that they're going to make. I'm almost jealous. I don't know if I can get to Montreal in time to see the show, but they will be back. And I've already been told that they are going to have a Canadian tour. So we just have to be a little bit more patient and they will come back and do the big cities like Toronto again. But before we close out that section, I want to just play one more song for them. And I'm going to play In the Name of Love, because they do what they do in the name of love, because of love. Jesus' love. Amen. The Soweto Gospel Choir, In the Name of Love.
Boom, boom, boom.
Should be in the name of love, and there's only one love that everybody should know, and Bob Marley even talks about it. Says one love, amen. It should be the love of Jesus, for the love that he had for the world. But you know what, I'm feeling blessed right now. The, like I said, Shimmy is just phenomenal. The choir is amazing. Like I said, I have to admit, I'm very jealous right now. Lindsay's getting spoiled, and I know they're having a wonderful time. And the amount of costume changes that they do and just everything they're doing is so wonderful. So we're going to continue to lift them up in prayer, knowing that they are ministering to God's people in a very different way. I think being called as an evangelist, I think it's so special and an honor to be able to go places and move around and share the word of Jesus and the love of Jesus and be able to fulfill what he has mandated that we do, because we are supposed to be doing that. That is our job. That is the purpose we are here for, as much as we think we're just here to be cute. Some of us do it well and some of us don't, but the fact of the matter is we have a responsibility in exchange for the life that he laid down. Praise God. One more song, and I couldn't get my hands on the song that Shimmy talked about, and it was Oh It Is Jesus, and I was able to play it. So I'm telling you now, I'm going to try and see if I can upload it to our YouTube channel and let you know. But if you get a chance, please go to YouTube, search out Oh It Is Jesus, or It Is Jesus by the Soweto Gospel Choir. And I'm telling you, you have to hear their version of the song. I was trying to get it and trying to purchase it on iTunes, and I couldn't, and I tried Amazon.com. And after I got ready to purchase, I thought I was so there. I was so excited. Then it tells me it's only available in America. And so I couldn't get it up. And so I was just, this is not good. So because I really wanted you to hear the words of the song, I'm going to play a copy of this song by the Grace Thrillers. It's not the same, because I'm telling you, the power of how they do it is tremendous. After after I play this, and I think it's fitting. As I told you, we have guests on the show who are going to help me with my Right On Point panel and have a discussion about this pastor, Jim Standridge, in Oklahoma at Emmanuel, I believe it was Emmanuel Baptist Church, I believe is the church that he's with. And he gets a little out of hand, kind of telling folk how they are and what they should be doing and how they're not living. But he tells them off in the middle of the service. I don't know how many of you have seen it. It's on YouTube. But we have some commentaries. I did post the video. It is on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. If you want, you can take a look at the video. It's on the Pastor Jay Rouse Facebook page. Please take a look at it. I have the honor, after this song, to have once again Trinae Prosser, a.k.a. Ms. T, comedian and author of Celibacy, What Was I Thinking? And I'm going to call him infamous. He's going to laugh at me. He can only hear me, so he can't fight back right now. He's one of my mentors. When I came through ministry, he was there, one of my teachers, just somebody I respected, somebody I listened to, somebody I follow, somebody I admire. And he is. He's a wonderful man of God. He's an amazing pastor. And he does it because he really loves God's people. And I know this. And he believes in evangelism. And so he promotes it to the fullest. And so I've always felt so comfortable around him because I know what I'm called to do, he believes in. Amen. But Oscar, Reverend Oscar Creer, will be joining us as well after I've played the version of Oh, It Is Jesus by the Grace Thrillers.
Jesus, knowing it's Jesus, it's Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ms. Trinae Prosser and Reverend Oscar Creer. Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, everybody knows Ms. T, a.k.a. Trinae Prosser. She seems to be a regular on my show now. See, I think you're going to end up hosting with me every time I do Right on Point. Amen?
Amen. We can do that.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. I guess, in a way, I guess it's supposed to be a compliment or yeah, we're going to say it's a compliment if I can say you're opinionated.
All comedians is opinionated. That's how we get our material.
Oh, I thought it was just because we were women, but I guess we're funny women then. So we'll take both hats into account. Now,
that's right.
There's a very, very handsome gentleman on the line. As I said before, he's a mentor of mine. He's just, you know, words can't begin to describe him. I think he's an amazing person. I have such great love for him and his ministry. He has a wonderful family, a growing family, too, because I believe there's even a grandbaby in the mix.
Yeah, so, boy.
Yes, Reverend Oscar Creer, my friend, how are you?
I am simply wonderful. Yes, the Lord is blessing and I'm enjoying.
Amen. You have to tell everybody what I already know about you, but they don't know. We know you're a pastor. We know you've got a book coming out. Share everything you can so they can fall in love with you, too.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I'm excited to be sharing with you this evening, for real.
Oh, please.
I am the pastor of the New Tiberia Baptist Church here in Chicago, Illinois. I am the chapel pastor for two funeral homes here, Johnson Funeral Home and McGee Funeral Home. I do their chapel work for them.
Uh-huh.
I run a not-for-profit consulting company called Leap of Faith Church Growth Consultants.
Oh, okay.
And we do consulting for churches and not-for-profits, and we recently signed an agreement with Cook County Juvenile Services and Illinois Lincoln Challenges. So I've got a lot of things in the pot, and out of all of that came the book. Last year alone, I preached 26 traumatic death funerals.
Wow.
And I've done 9 this year so far.
Oh, my word, yeah.
And so out of that experience, I wrote the book, Lord, Thou Has Been Our Dwelling Place. Some
pastoral reflections. What is the name of it?
Lord, Thou has been our dwelling place.
Lord, Thou has been our dwelling place. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's pastoral reflections on life, traumatic death, chronic grief, and funerals. Really
wow.
A wonderful piece. And it just kind of reminds pastors of our role as we minister to people going through trauma and what families go through, and just all the professionals that they encounter, and what I think those professionals need to do for families in the healing process.
Right.
So that's who I am, and that's what I'm doing.
Amen. Oh, well, you're quite busy, obviously. You don't have time
to
have idle hands.
No, no. Not this season, anyway.
And, you know, we definitely have to get you back on here just so we can literally talk about this ministry, because I'm noticing the way you're wording it, and it's traumatic and chronic. And it's funny because outside of me studying psychology, which I realize now goes hand in hand because I did psychology and children's psychology, which also helps me to deal with people along with the theological studies, but I am in personal injury law.
Okay.
And we use these same words to describe very traumatic injury.
Sure.
And to use these words to go along with the theory of death, it lets you realize how deep the wound really is.
Yeah. Well, in Chicago last year, we had more than 500 homicides.
Yes.
And so we're talking people dying by gunshot, stabbing, domestic violence.
Right.
Just trauma that people die from. And
right.
Chronic grief is the people who are experiencing it over and over again.
Yeah, and it doesn't go away kind of thing, and they have a hard time healing from it.
Right, because before they can heal from one, they're hit
mm-hmm.
with another.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why that's the arena that I'm working in now. And I'm, you know, there are those who are on the stop the violence side, and I
right.
salute them. But
uh-huh.
I'm on the side, if the violence stops, how are we going to heal these people?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, wow, that's a whole show right there. Praise God. And
yeah.
It is. It's a deeper type of ministry, because you can't say that this is something that just anybody can do.
Oh, no, anybody cannot do this. You have to have a deep passion for people.
Yeah, but I mean, you even have to have that extra bit of gifting to allow you to be able to stand to go through something like that, to be able to deal with the emotional aspects of it.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Wow, geez, and I respected you so much before. I don't know if I can even do it more now. I'm not sure how that
works. Bless your heart.
And you know, and
listen. Now you see why Pastor Snap in the pulpit, the pressure. They're under so much pressure, they just snap.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you can hold it together, then you got to understand why this fella should have been able to try to hold it together, at least for a little bit, get the word out and move on, you know? My word. But you've got a little grandson?
I've got a grandson, the first grandbaby, and he's about 7 months old now, and we just loving him to life, I tell you.
Jeez, what would make it so obvious? Considering the fact that the majority of the pictures on his Facebook page now are the little baby, okay? Renee, I'll have to show you this child, because I'm telling you, you can't even see him in the pictures. It's just the baby.
Yeah, boy, that's my heart, man. I am so in love. And, you hear grandparents talk about a new level of love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't, and you can't really fathom that until it's your turn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be there and watch him from the day he came into the world, even now 6 months later.
Yes.
He is such a fabulous baby. I mean, just.
Aww.
Just
he is cute. I've seen the pictures, yeah. Bless his heart. So maybe that's the cure. We need to get this man and see if he's got any grandkids, or get him a puppy or something.
He'd abuse the puppy.
he kicked the puppy to the curb.
in defense of this man, as pastor to pastor.
Yes.
There really are days when people forget how much you do for them.
Yes.
And start picking at you.
Exactly.
After you have gone to court with their kids, and after you have healed their marriages, and after you have, you know, walked through the valley with them.
Yes. Oh, and don't forget the important
when
part.
I look at my congregation and want to do the same thing.
But that's usually while you're going through something. You forgot that part, because they don't think we go through things.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
That
yeah.
is why
yeah.
I'm writing a book called Who Prays for the Preacher?
Sure. Mm. Sure. Mm. Well, you know, that is a retreat center somewhere in Michigan that ministers to wounded preachers.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Catholics have a place.
Right.
And there were people who were complaining that they had this place for preachers who had been accused or whatever of
right.
child molestations. They've got a center for them.
Right.
And if anybody should show compassion, the church ought to.
Yeah.
And so we need to give him a one-way ticket. to one of these centers.
Oh, my goodness.
But now, I think you said on Facebook that you had done some research.
Yes.
To find out that he does this every Sunday.
Well, and this is the thing. It has hit the regular news outlets. This is why I'm addressing this, because this was not part of the planned show tonight. And what happened was, when I saw this on our local major news station, and I thought, what in the world? And I was on the phone with my mom, and I said, hold on, Mom, you got to hold on for a second. I just saw this blurb, and they're saying something about, and the headline was, not your typical Sunday sermon. And then when I saw that, and I thought, I need to listen to this, because this sounds weird. Like, only in the West Indies do I know they allow Sunday sermon to be on the news, and it's usually just to tell you what that particular pastor or church spoke about. But they don't do that here. And
okay.
So when I saw that, I had to see. And that's when I saw part of the rant. So then I went online, and I started to look up the whole thing. And then there were other newscasts all over North America who were talking about this, and somebody even interviewed him. And they
really?
Are saying they are saying that members say he does this all the time.
But now let's be clear. Every church has its own following.
Right.
Regardless of how bizarre they may seem, they have a following.
Right.
And for a crowd of people to go week after week to receive that kind of abuse.
Exactly.
That says something about that congregation.
Well,
yeah.
And we have one of the thoughts and opinions that came in from one of the people even mentioned that it is almost like a cult.
Sure it is.
You get so caught up into it that you would follow. So let me just stop everybody here for a minute, and I'm going to start going through some of these statements, and then we can try and address them one at a time and see how we do. Now, a young lady I know, a very good friend of mine, actually. I'm not going to call her a young lady I know. She's a dear friend of mine, Mafine Stevenson. She wrote in and she said, I think there is a right and a wrong way to do things, and certainly it is not appropriate. I would not want to be a part of his congregation. Telling the guy he's not even worth 15 cents was hard hit below the belt. How is that encouraging? And he calls himself a man of God. Now, that was my first thought, because I thought his parishioners might put up with this, but now it's viral on the internet and on the news in North America. How does it make all the other ministers and churches look out there?
Well, let me say this. There have been days when I have been hard-hitting. But if I'm going to hit that hard, it's going to be me and you riding in the car.
Yeah.
I would never, ever.
Right.
Because I think, you know, there's a way and a place to do that kind of rebuke. And the Bible says we ought to rebuke.
That's right. And we have to chasten. And that's the thing. But you're not doing it publicly.
Oh, no.
I mean. I'm sorry.
I'd be scared to do it publicly. I passed on the west side of Chicago.
Your members be packing guns. Don't be playing up in there.
Let me tell you.
Hey, I don't even want to name names, because I heard stories coming through the ministry in the denomination he and I were both affiliated with, and we heard stories. So yeah, you don't play.
No, you don't say.
Go ahead, Miss Lee.
Well, like you say, you know, maybe it'll bring to light how they are, that they don't realize what shape they're really in.
Yeah.
They're just going to church out of habit and thinking that they're getting the word of God, and they're really not. They're getting the opinions of the pastor and really not a whole lot of words. So maybe this will help them come out of this spiritual sleep that they're in.
Right.
Sorry to call it a spiritual sleep.
Well, no, you're calling it what you need to.
But with the problem,
it's like an abused woman that likes to get beat up.
Yeah.
It's like an abused woman who stays with a man that physically abuses her.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, and when she wakes up, it's over. You got to do something different. You better come correct or else.
Grit on the stove.
But my thing is, maybe with it becoming newsworthy, that maybe now they're looking and reevaluating their position in their church. I don't know, but I'll keep reading.
Or they think that their message now is going to reach the masses. Because he's convinced he's right. Now, let's be clear. He's convinced he's right.
Exactly. Well, let's keep reading. Now, my cousin Carrie in Barbados, he's the owner and director of the one of our sponsors, actually. And it's CrossFit Island Fit. And he said he was out of bounds. Now, another lady I know, very good friend in Windsor, church woman, very Christian-oriented, comes from a very Christian family, Stephanie Vassila Dimitrakis. She was more stunned. She was doing a lot of the wow, wow, wow stuff. And then she said he sounds like a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's probably bang on when it comes to the character flaws of the people that follow him. However, he is totally out of order. He is dangerous, has all the characteristics of a cult leader. He has made it all about him and what he can do if they let him work on their brains. I don't see anything. She doesn't see anything wrong with the rebuke now and then because we need it. Amen. And we just said that. However, he was totally off base. She says, I don't even know how to respond. And then she says, but on the other hand, he is probably just tired and fed up. At times, church folks can be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he just lost it. Definitely not his vocation. Now, but the thing is, to me, at first when I saw it, I thought, when he said, I feel better or something like this in the video, and I thought, you know what, he was just stressed and he needed to vent. But when they said that church members said that he does this on this is not out of the ordinary for him to be doing this, then that's not stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's long-term stress. But once again, it goes back to what kind of people subject themselves to that week after week.
Yes. And that's the thing. But you remember, there used to be this theory about all these people kept moving from church to church. It would be you're supposed to be in love with Jesus, not your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens
and
is...
Unfortunately, we are the pastor is the physical manifestation. We are the symbol of Christ.
Exactly.
We have a tangible thing that they hold on to.
Right.
And we have an accountability, however.
Okay, but I always say I have a Jesus ministry. It's a ministry of love. You don't treat people like that.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't tell them that they're not worth 15. You know, like, I mean, like, who are you to tell them what their value is? Who are you?
But does he have children of his own? What are they like?
I don't know. I'm afraid.
Yeah, we don't have them on video yet.
So maybe we have to do some more research and we have to follow up on that. Now, here's another person. One of the comedians that we had on our first pre-launch show, and he was one of my favorite comedians. He's a good friend of mine, James McNeil. He's in Chatham, Ontario. He wrote in, and I kind of understood where he was coming from as well. And he said, many of us followers of Jesus are chicken to speak up in public about the truth of the gospel. Many pastors are chicken to call people on the carpet, even in the context of Christian community. Fear of man, for some sad reason, is this all-powerful issue that holds believers back from following clear commands from the creator of the universe.
He said, this pastor rocks. We need more leaders like this. Solid, purpose, backbone, and no fear of the created. So, yes, I agree with part of what he says, because as Sister Stephanie had said, he's probably very right about how these people are. But there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
Yes, God.
Yeah.
But the scripture also says, woe is the shepherd that scatters the sheep.
His sheep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this
you,
is
you
the
just
thing.
Can't. Yeah, yeah, you just can't. Well, once again, I guess I keep saying it over and over again that I think he said he had been at that church for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so he might have raised many of those people. If you've been at a church 10, 15 years, you've raised a generation or two.
Right.
And so when you have raised them, you almost become daddy to many of them.
Right.
And it might not have been his intent to go viral.
Right.
And this might have been what he was. Remember he spoke to the guy in the sound booth?
Yeah.
That may be who put it on the internet in the first place. Because remember the pastor accused him of setting up his own ministry in the sound booth.
Yeah.
And that might have been his way of getting back at the pastor. By exposing it.
Right, because he probably knows better or probably doesn't appreciate it, and then he's probably trying to disclaim the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now, here's another one. Oh, sorry, you were going to say something, Trine?
I was going to say, I visited a church once, and even as a visitor, I became uncomfortable when at the end of the benediction, the pastor had made a comment. And I know that it was addressed to his members, but I felt like you could have waited until your guest left before you said what you said. You should have said, okay, this word I have now was for the members of my flock. He said, visitors, you are free to leave now.
Yes.
Because he said what he said. I mean, a chill went through me, and I was like, you know, Lord, as long as I breathe and forever when I see that man now, I have no respect for him. I mean, whatever he preached and all of that was fine and dandy until he ended it the way he did. And then I don't even speak to the man when I see him. I see him and I can't even nod. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of bad, but I've been in the situation. But, you know, when you know better, you know that it doesn't feel right. So you know something's not right here. So I do get the impression that some of those members are kind of brainwashed. And like I'm saying, they're just spiritually asleep, just going through the motions. Apparently they're not reading more at home, because if they read a little more at home, they get a little more Holy Ghost. And then they have to talk to the pastor or just go find another church. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if those, like you say, if he raised half them kids, he know them very well. But you don't sit up there and tell all their business in front of everybody either, because as you did that, if I was a recovering alcoholic, ain't nobody supposed to know that but me and my pastor if I went to him in confidence. But he's telling the whole business. I said, Lord, he's sitting up here. If they had a testimony service, he told it all. Just told it all. But anyway,
that's the thing. Because I was thinking the same thing. What if they had visitors, unless they don't get visitors, and I can't imagine. They must not have friends and family Sunday, because I can't see these folks wanting to bring anybody in the church. But, I mean, outside of that, if there was somebody visiting, how would they have felt? I think you know what? I'm going to tell you. I was at a church once, and I knew the pastor well, and I was there sort of to help him out. And the church turned on him.
Wow.
And he was at the front of the church. It was in the middle of service. He hadn't brought his word yet. And they had this discussion about something that had happened in the church. And it was me and my stepson there. And we knew these people. They were really good people. We'd been to their homes. We'd been to the pastor's homes. We knew everybody. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this is what happened. And then they started persecuting the pastor at the front of the church. And then an argument broke out. And I sat there, and I was shocked. And then I got up, and I started to leave. And I remember Trenton saying, "Where are we going, Mom?" And he said, "We're going to church." He goes, "But we're at church." I said, "No, baby, this is not church. We're going to church." And we left to go to another church. The only thing is that when I was walking out, people were touching me. And they were saying, "Evangelist, where are you going? Where are you going?" And I said, "I came for service." "Well, we're going to have service soon." And I said, "Well, I don't know what this is, but if this is intermission, I want no part of it."
Yeah.
It should be handled in a church board meeting or in a church meeting, but you don't do that in front of visitors. Because this is what makes people think, well, I don't want to be a part of this congregation, or I don't want to be a part of church, or I don't want to be a Christian. And it makes all of us look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, church, point one, church fights are horrible fights. Period.
Oh, yeah.
There is no nice way to have a church fight. And many pastors feel that the place to have the fight, if there is going to be a fight, is on Sunday morning, because in a board meeting, you get the same people come to the board meeting all the time.
Right.
At least on Sunday morning, you've got
everybody's
some neutral
there.
Ears. Oh. Sure. That just might be able to speak peace to the situation.
Right.
And sometimes, the pastor needs to remind people. For example, I had a person that was a member of a church once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
Who I had been through so much with their family. I mean, I had been through so much with that family.
Uh-huh.
And we were in a board meeting, and that person stood against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, you didn't feel that way when I got your son out of jail.
Mm.
You didn't feel that way when I went to the pawn shop and retrieved the stereo and TV that your crackhead husband had sold."
Mm, my word. Right?
And when I had to remind her, you know, that I walk with you. Now, why are you not walking with me? But I would not do that on Sunday morning for fear of visitors.
Right.
But at some point, you got to remind people.
You got to address things.
A young lady left our church, and I had to remind her, "Oh, we're disorganized now, but we were organized when your husband had cancer and you couldn't get off work to take him to treatment, and me and three of the men in the church took turns taking him and picking him up from chemo. We were organized then, but now we're not organized enough for you." Sometimes that is necessary, but picking the battlefield is what it really is about, what it really is about.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I would never do that on a Sunday morning.
Well,
but
what
in
is
a
it
board
we...
meeting or in a one-on-one conversation? Oh yeah, let me peep your card real quick.
isn't that how we do the church announcements, and then there's a note that gets slipped to the person reading the announcement, and after service the pastor would like to meet with.
Sure.
And we know that if the pastor meets with us, that there's a private discussion going on.
Let me be biblical. The Bible says that if I have aught against my brother, I'm to go to my brother.
That's right.
If my brother does not receive it,
even,
I am to get two or three other brothers and go back to my brother.
Thank you.
Witnesses, yeah.
And it goes
now, that's
up from
how, that's how the Bible said we ought to do that.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't even want to name names. I've been in ministers' churches where I've helped, and even in a church board meeting or unofficial meetings, and you'll get chastised by a pastor publicly, and even that doesn't feel nice, especially when you know you haven't done anything wrong.
Sure.
Embarrassing people does not help to share Christian love.
Well, let me say this, that I dare say, without much fear of contradiction, that this man is so isolated that you don't have that many pastors doing it that way. Now I'm praying that I'm praying that I'm on point here.
Amen. Well, that we know of, that we know of.
Doing it that way.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I've got another session coming in. I need to get ready for.
Uh-huh.
It has been wonderful hanging out with you all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greer.
All right, and we'll talk again real soon.
We definitely will.
Okay.
I know the book. When did you say the book is coming out?
You should be able to get it on Amazon.com next week.
Okay.
Always.
Then we will definitely be talking very soon, and we can share some more about some of this ministry work that you're doing because it's very intense. I like that.
Yes, thank you very much. All right, you all be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank
okay.
you, and give my love to your wife. Give her a big hug and squeeze for me.
I will do it, yes.
All right, then. God bless you, Pastor.
You all. Bye-bye.
You know, I was going to say, I'm noticing a trend that a lot of churches, at least here in Texas, the pastors are not yoking up with any kind of Baptist association. They're not being mentored, allowing themselves to be mentored well. They're just they don't want to answer to anybody. And
right.
They don't want nobody correcting them, so they numb their deacons. So they still tell the deacons what to do. I'm like, the deacons just
know what?
Better take up the offering.
but you bring up a good point, because think about it. I mean, I'm not... Forgive me. I'm not huge on large structured churches.
Mm-hmm.
But when you
mm-hmm.
think about it, when you set up your own church and
mm-hmm.
you have nobody that you have to really answer to,
yeah.
you have the run of the mill to do whatever you want and be however you want and treat folk however you feel.
And it's almost like you don't care if they like you or leave you.
Well, and that's the thing. So let me read uh-huh. some more here. I've got
okay.
another missionary friend out in Alberta, Canada, and she said, I am behind this pastor. He is trying to get things done in a way the layman can understand. Straight, no frills. He is, in fact, the leader of this church, and things should be set forth righteously. And I agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is there's a way how to do this that's not so public. Shaming people
right.
in church is not going to get people to change. It's just going to create more resentment or more hate for the man of God or more hate for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe you cannot go and play church. I agree. You cannot play church. Too many pastors are out there playing church. And so, yeah, you've got the word of God. You got to bring it. You see there's something wrong, you got to fix it. But there's a time
yeah.
and place and a mannerism in how it can be done.
Right.
Now,
otherwise, people thinking that God is a big, mean something and that you never can please him. If you come up under that kind of teaching, you think that you never could please God. You could never make him happy, so why try?
Right. Well, and think about it. If God is supposed to be love and you're supposed to be of value, remember we talk about the worth of the two birds and, you know, but then this guy says you're not worth this much.
You ain't worth 15 cents. I said, oh,
okay,
no.
That's what I'm saying. So how do you sit down? If your pastor will treat you like that, you're sitting here. You know what? I have been through some things when I was younger that when
mm-hmm.
I would call the pastor that I had a long time ago and he was supposed to return my calls, I was going through something. And, of course, I was calling my minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he never returned my calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point, I was very young and very, very young in my Christian walk. And my theory was, well, if the man of God doesn't want anything to do with me, then maybe God has abandoned me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And because when you're at a certain stage in your Christian walk, you start to connect them. Like Reverend Creer said, you connect
yeah.
that person as a representative or an objective of God or Jesus.
Right, right.
And so
yeah.
you start to take what they say as God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not good. Now, I've got some other thoughts here. Johnny Roberts, he's also a comedian in the U.S., he said he's just making a point, sort of tongue-in-cheek, and I believe the people he was talking to understand that, or they would have walked out. It's like a shock jock on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to see many videos of his preaching to believe otherwise. He also says, we had a preacher in my denomination, and he named the denomination, I'm not going to say it, that would get up and start with the craziest stuff, mainly to get everybody's attention, and it worked, kind of like being a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a shock jock, because, you know what, if he was a shock jock and just doing the shock factor, he wouldn't do this all the time. Now, here's another comedian in the U.S., Dwight McCormick, and he says he thinks he was out of line. Public humiliation does not equal holding people accountable.
Mm.
He says things many pastors feel or have felt, but he seems to be putting himself in place of God, who is merciful, not a God that shames us into submission. Amen. I would recommend this pastor have some therapy and learn about appropriate boundaries. We got to send him the address for the camp. I am a pastor of, he's even a pastor. Amen. I am a pastor of a congregation and have been for 14 years. If I had done this, I would have been likely disciplined by the church board. Amen. And that's that accountability thing again. Remember, we were just saying that. If you don't have to answer to anybody, you could do what you want. And as long as you still have people in your pews, then you still have a church.
And you think it's okay.
Yes.
And you think it's acceptable.
They take
and
it.
And if they have an opinion, they better keep it to themselves.
Well, or as I said earlier, maybe they're afraid not to show up at church. Because, I mean, when you got a pastor who's going
to
act like this,
you're
if you miss
devil.
One Sunday and you come back, you might be afraid he might call you out in church.
Or he might come to your job and act like that.
Well, and that's true too. Okay, we got one more comment, and it's actually a cousin of mine, Valerie Hunt in Barbados, and she said, I can't believe they kept filming. After the comment about the man not being worth 15 cents, it's clear this man is having a meltdown and is out of order. And that's what I seriously thought. I thought, you know what, he snapped. He's under some stress, but they say this isn't the first time he does this.
Well, he still needs a sabbatical from the pulpit. I must need to go down there and take over for a little while. Let him
Heaven help us
back.
All. Heaven help us
well,
all.
Let Miss T get up there. And well, they all will fall out because I'm sure women preachers are not allowed in the pulpit where they are.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine. What did he say? He called his wife my little Connie. So you can imagine what he would think about us. But, yeah, you know, now here, it's funny because Reverend Creer had made a comment before he came on. And here's what he had sent me. It says, all of us at some point feel like that. Unfortunately, we do not know the details surrounding his feeling this way on a Sunday or on Sunday. It is and has always been that the pulpit is not a fair fight because the people don't get a chance to fight back. Secondly, somebody came that day that really needed a word from the Lord and they went home beaten up for somebody else's sin. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You know, when I left that church, when I said, this isn't church, y'all need to do this after service.
Uh-huh.
I came for church service. But by the time I got outside the church, well, some of the members were outside crying. So, of course, I'm a minister. I couldn't just leave. So the fight was continuing on the inside, and I was outside praying for people one at a time, trying to console people. By the time we finally left, we ended up going to another church, a sister church of mine, and went there and had service, and we got our word from the Lord. But by the time we went home, you know, how do you explain this to a child? And he was probably about maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tell people don't badmouth your church or talk about it. When you go home and you're at the dinner table and all your family's there, people are listening. Why would they want to come to the church if you trash your own church?
Yeah.
But yeah. Now you go to a church where he's going to talk to you like you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
Would he do that to you in front of your own kids?
Yeah.
I know your dad.
Your dad's right there.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm saying. That's kind of dangerous. I mean, I understand that he needs to chastise those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he did bring up valid points because obviously he had issues with certain people. You know, there are people who are going to get married and they want to get married, but they don't show up at the church. And then like 2 weeks before the wedding, they be coming every Sunday.
Well, and after the wedding, you never see them. So, I mean, every church go through that.
There you go.
Every church go through that. So even whether he makes a comment about it, there it's not going to cajole them into wanting to go because, you know what?
Exactly. But you don't say, I wouldn't marry you to in front of the congregation. That's not nice. Like, how are they supposed to feel as a couple?
Yeah, because I'd be like, oh, you don't want, okay, well, you can go get somebody else, but since I know how you really feel, I don't want to be a member here either.
But then, yeah, but who would want to come back? And then when you come back, that person you married, and he said he wouldn't marry you, and he don't know where he's going, and you don't know where you're going, he's insulted you both. Why would you both show up there, even if you were married?
Well, you certainly wouldn't want to go to him for marriage counseling. You'd be scared to let him know what's going on.
That's true. He would probably, well, that's the other thing, because he might tell you business out in the middle of the church.
Yeah, and that wasn't no scripture attached to that. It wasn't no scripture attached
to that. You know, how can you confide in a minister that you don't know when he's going to just talk in front of everybody? Like, that's not right. I've been involved with churches like that where the pastor will just embarrass you in front of everybody. And that's not of God. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have no right to tell somebody the worth or value they are, because who are you? You didn't set the price on their head. The Lord did.
Yeah. But you know how we grew up in the, you know, in our culture, the African-American culture, that we kind of use that as a way to try to motivate people. And if that telling me to push away from the table had worked when I was 12, it didn't work then. It's now I'm 50 now. It still didn't work.
Exactly.
So you didn't make me feel bad, but you did make me kind of wonder what was wrong with me, because you couldn't accept me as I am. So sometimes those values, he seemed to have those kind of values. He was raised that way too, that they just said whatever was, and if it came out hateful and harmful, nobody noticed it, because the hurt, you don't show it, but you keep it.
Yeah. And so I think, with us living in a society where depression is so prevalent, you don't want to be treating folk like this, and then they go home and they're really depressed and feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you know someone's not going to go home and commit suicide? Because they feel like, well, he told me I'm not even worth 15 cents.
Right. Golly.
You know,
Stamp is 50. He told me I'm worth 15.
Well, but do you understand where I'm going? I mean, like, this is serious, because we're in a society where depression is so big.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
people are caught in the trap of living paycheck to paycheck. Forget paycheck. It's just day by day by day. And then, like you said, you come to church, you're supposed to get refilled, re-energized, and come out of there
and
even
encouraged.
And then you catching more hell at church than you are at work.
Amen.
Excuse me, but hell is in the Bible. But yeah, you catching more hell at church than you are, but that's supposed to be like a sanctuary. Our church,
amen,
where we fellowship with each other, is supposed to be like a sanctuary where we can lift each other up. Somebody has a positive word for you. If your ministry may be just a smile, some people are coming just to see you smile, and that's hardly all you do. But you do it well.
So it does. It totally fixes their lives. So, okay, I'm going to give you 1 minute, and you give me a final wrap up on your thoughts on this, Trinae.
Well, I'm sorry it happened, and if it happens again and becomes vile again, then somebody, we need to really look at that as a Christian community and really start praying for our pastors. Like Reverend Craig Crayer said, you know, who's really praying for the preacher?
Yes.
I pray for mine, but I pray for mine at every church that I have been at, because it's like, well, Lord, you know what he is really going through, so I'm asking you to help him forgive offenses, thoughtful or real, whether they were real or imagined, so that he can really hear from you, so he can just speak the word.
Amen, amen. And that's me, because that's why I'm writing the book, because we go through so much, and we don't stop doing what we do.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah. But I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you again, Trinae, as always, for being a part of this. I just love you. And everybody, remember, she's a comedian. You can book her anytime. And she's got this wonderful, wonderful book, Celibacy, What Was I Thinking? Praise God. But before we go out, I just want to give a final thought that the Word of God was done out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing but love. Jesus love and godly love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That is love, because no one would ever sacrifice their only child for nothing. And so when he says to us, he said to feed my sheep, and I'm called to feed the sheep. When you're yelling and screaming and fighting and insulting your sheep, they're not getting fed. They're not feeling the love of Jesus. They're feeling worse, and the world can make them feel that way, and that's not our job, to make them feel like the world in the church. But at the same point, you got to wonder if this man is stressed out. So we, as Christian folk, need to pray for him and pray for his congregation, that the light would truly be seen. And whatever it is he's going through, that somehow he will either overcome it or step away from the pulpit. And the people that are there, that they would really get the Word of God. And that's why I tell people, even when I'm reading scripture, you know, you need to pull it out and learn it for yourself.
Right.
Because I could make a mistake. So, you know, this word goes out right now for all those who are hurting and are going through something. And you may not be getting fed the way you need to be fed, not just with physical food, but spiritually. And know that Jesus is love, and Jesus does love you. Jesus set the price on your head, and that was in exchange for his Son. You are worth more than precious gems, diamonds, and gold. You are priceless in his sight, and don't you ever forget that. And don't let anyone make you feel less than your worth. And once you know your worth, you hold your head up, because you value who you are, because you know whose you are.
Amen.
Don't you forget that. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up this minister, and we ask you to find what may be wrong, and that even though he is trying to do the righteous thing, Father God, that he would also do it in a manner that his people would be able to feel and hear and understand and learn according to thy will. And Father God, we pray for him, that the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, would touch him and soften his heart, Father God, that he could love the sheep the way Jesus loved his sheep. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the ones that he was trying to minister, that they would hear the words of Jesus through him. If they're doing something wrong, then they would turn from whatever it is they're doing. Let it be effective and positive, Father God. You can take the crooked and make it straight. And Father God, we thank you for the show. We ask that you would bless my friend Trinae, Father God, and bless Reverend Crear and everything they put their hands to. We ask that you allow all things to go forth without any type of obstacle. Bless me, bless the ministry, Father God. Bless my family, bless my friends. Bless our listeners, Father God, that they be touched and let them remember their worth is the worth that you have put on their head, Father God, and that Jesus was not slain in vain.
Yes.
And Father God, we ask that you would just continue to keep your hands upon us now.
Yes.
We ask it all now in Jesus' name. And God bless you. God keep you. And as I always say, until we meet again, this is the Pastor J. Rouse Show signing out. And I am Pastor J. Rouse. God bless you, Trine.
God
be with
you.
You.
Love you.
And we'll talk again soon in Jesus' name. May His grace always be sufficient to our listeners and guide them as they continue through the week. God keep you.
Oh.